Blog Talk Radio.
The Second Epistle General of Peter. 2 Peter 1.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord, brothers. Praise the Lord. It's Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is our newest episode of Issues Christian Men's Talk. Again, I thank you. Welcome back. Again, we are continuing to press in and press into the things of God to encourage men, to encourage us in this Christian walk as fathers and sons and husbands, to be the men that God has called us to be the leaders in the home, in the church, and in our communities. So for the month of May, we're moving forward. I thank you all for listening to the programs. I've seen you call in. I've seen that you listen to the links when I go check my dashboard. So I appreciate that, and I just pray that you continue to be blessed by the conversations and discussions we're having and with my guests that I'm bringing on to encourage us. Because, again, as the husbands, fathers, and sons, we have more in common than we are different. And the things that we deal with, that we can come together and be able to discuss some of those things. Tonight we're going to be talking about obedience. Obedience to God. Why is obedience to God important? And I'm going to give you a couple of scripture references that we're going to be working from. We're going to be working from 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. And then 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Why is obedience to God important? And I think this is something we all have to reconcile in our minds and check ourselves, where we are, how we're living in our day-to-day walk, in this Christian walk. Are we living in obedience to God? And what does that mean? So So we're going to touch on a couple of things here tonight. And I got my brother, Deacon Anthony, joining me tonight. He's going to be sharing some of his insights, and hopefully we can encourage someone. Encourage someone, challenge someone, and support us and support one another. And again, as we walk through this Christian walk, as we live this life. Because again, as the body of Christ, as men of God, we are not to do this walk alone. There is no long range of Christians. We need one another. Amen. I'm going to pray, I got a couple announcements and some things coming up that I want to share. We're going to open with prayer right now. Father God, first of all, I just want to thank you, Lord. I thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit living within us, O God. Father, we ask that you continue, God, to touch the lives of your men, of your church, O God, of those, O God, who are called by your name, God. We ask that you continue to strengthen us and keep us, God. Father, we pray for wisdom and discernment in all things, and we pray, God, for the peace. We pray for peace and healing in the churches, in the families, O God, in our communities, God, in the world, O God, in all the things that are going on in the cities and the violence. God, we pray for a remnant, oh God, a remnant of true believers who are faithful to you, that continue to stand, continue to live in obedience, continue to walk this walk, continue to be salt and light in all that's going on, Lord God. So, Father, we thank you right now. Father, I pray for those in jail, in hospital beds, God. Pray for the families, oh God, that are standing by, that you would comfort them in their struggles with family members who may be sick or shut in, oh God. So, Father, we just say thank you for all that you're doing, God. We ask you to continue to use us mightily, God. I ask for a blessing over my brother and his family, God. Strengthen him, oh God. Keep him in the place, oh God. We hear your voice. We're praying for the pastors, elders, and deacons, those who labor behind the scenes, who minister to your people, God, who guide the flocks, who shepherd the flocks, who counsel people, who encourage people, God. We pray in their strength, God, because they are just men, oh God. And we know that sometimes the things of this world become a challenge to them also. So we're praying for a spiritual covering for them, God. We pray that they be strengthened. We pray that their virtue be restored as they continue to pour out into the lives of the church, oh God. So we thank you for them also, God. So, Father, we just say thank you. We give you all honor and glory, oh God, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Well, we got a couple of things, brothers. We got up again. I mentioned it in the last episode, and I'm still working on the details, but this starting in May, every Saturday, there's a men's Bible study that has been established and is up and running, and we're going to give more information and details about that as soon as I connect with the men's leader. It's going to be in Glen Burnie, Maryland, for my brothers that are here locally in the Baltimore, Annapolis, in D.C. area. It's going to be on Glen Burnie in Saturdays at 10 a.m., so you can prepare yourself. And last time I talked to the brother, his plan, he's having it every Saturday at 10 a.m. So it's something that, again, we're working on the details. We're establishing it. We're working on some things. I'll put out the address and everything. But it's going to be in Glen Burnie. It's going to be Saturday at 10 a.m. Men's Fellowship. It's going to run about an hour. So I just want to put that out there and plant that seed. So when we come make the announcement, we're going to put it on Facebook. We're going to put it here on the episode of Issues Christian Men's Talk. And the details are coming soon. And for those who are on my text links, I'm going to text it out. As soon as we get a green light to go, I'm going to text that information out and just plan accordingly to spend a Saturday with us. I mean, I know everyone can't make it every Saturday, but we know that one Saturday, twice, two Saturdays a month, God will move upon your heart, and God will make a way. Amen? Amen. Also, it's just Christian Men's Talk. Always welcome to invite anybody to come and be on discussion panels, be part of the discussion, come and share your insights, your wisdom, or a topic you want to discuss that we can reason through the scriptures to find solutions and answers for. And if you want to be a guest on the show, again, reach out to me, call me. Most of you have gotten this link either on the Facebook page or on your phone through text. Just text me back that you're interested in being on the show and being a participant, or you can send me inbox me on Facebook, and we can set it up. And also, as a reminder, every Saturday at 9 a.m., we are live call-in, so you can call in on Saturdays and be part of the discussions for our Saturday morning weekly discussion. phone number there is 646-668-2636. That's 646-668-2636. And that Saturday morning is at 9 a.m. Amen? Amen. Well, I got one more thing. If you go on our Facebook page, for those of you who follow me on Facebook, on the Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page, we have a summer reading list that we're gathering, some recommended reading material for the summer. You know, summer's coming, you get the time to take vacation, take some time, downtime off work, sit on the beach, go in the woods, go hiking, whatever. We got a reading list we're putting together. I'm going to share one of the books that we're adding to it. We're just adding to it right now because the books just came in. Amen. So, this book is called Seven Friendships Every Man Needs. Seven Friendships Every Man Needs. It's written by Justin Erickson. That's Justin Erickson, J-U-S-T-I-N, Erickson, E-R-I-C-K-S-O-N. And it's Seven Friendships Every Man Needs. And I've seen this book and was able to get it, order some. Just to give you an idea of some of the chapter titles, it's a pretty good book. It's about 250 pages, it's, you know, paperback. It's very interesting to me. And some of the titles which caught my attention are some of the things that I've already read. Chapter 1, for example, you need a godly mentor to disciple you. Number 2, you need a solid peer to encourage you. Number 3, you need a best friend to uphold you. Number 4, you need a courageous brother to confront you. That's chapter 4. That's going to be halfway through the book. Amen. You need a faithful disciple to follow you. That we all should be mentoring someone, discipling someone, and helping them grow in their faith. That's one of the things we always talk about here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. This is why the importance of men's ministry is so important, that we can gather together, connect, and we never know who we can help along the way in this Christian walk, because, again, we are not meant to be alone. So those last two chapters, that's powerful. Number 6, chapter 6, we need a lost seeker to hear you. I know all of us are all righteous, and we don't hang out with any sinners anymore. We know all our friends go to church. All our brothers are in church. All our brothers are saved. Everybody we know is saved. We need to be around some unsaved folk that we can spread the gospel and share and encourage them to come to understand the faith. Something I always say here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, there's a soul out there that's only going to hear the gospel from you. And they're going to hear from the pastor. They're going to hear from a televangelist. They're going to hear, and you're going to be able to witness to them that their soul might be saved, and they may come to faith through their relationship with you and what you say to them. So that's what it says. We need a lost seeker to hear us. Chapter 7, you need a gracious Savior to befriend you. And we all know that's number 7. And then chapter 8 is anyone can finish well. And we know what Paul wrote about at the end of his life, that he finished well. So I encourage you again, add that to the list. It's going to be posted on the Facebook page. For my brothers that are listening, you local, you know me, call me. I got a couple copies. I could hook you up. So give me a call. You got the text. You got my number. Reach out, and I could hook you up with a copy. Amen? Amen. Amen. Again, this is Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. One more thing I want to talk about in that vein. And this is from one of the books this is a book that I read a long time ago. And it was on our summer reading list during the pandemic last year. It's Ten Disciplines of a Godly Man. It's by Ken Hughes, H-U-G-H-E-S, Ken Hughes, 10 Disciplines of a Godly Man. But I want to focus this on discipline number 2 in this book. It says the disciplines of relationships. And that ties along with who's in our circle. We all need a circle of influence. We need brothers to keep us anchored, to keep us connected, and who are we keeping connected and holding on to? Again, at the body of Christ, we depend on one another. We need one another. Again, for the brothers out there, you know, you may be getting this, and you're not part of a local church. You're not part of a ministry. I don't understand it. It's unbiblical. There's nowhere in Scripture where anyone was out there alone. And the 12 had each other. They had the 120. The church, we, the purpose in the building of the church is encourage one another and show love to one another. In these times of testing, in these times of persecution, and in times of struggle, we don't have to, as Christian men, we don't have to go through anything alone. What you're going through with your children, with your wife, your job, your addictions, your struggles, your lust, your sin, you don't have to go through it alone. That's why the body of Christ is here. That's why we're called to encourage one another and love one another. And that's one of the commandments God has given us. But again, for a brother out there, if you're not part of a church, I pray that you would get to one. But again, what I'm talking about here is the discipline of godly man and the discipline of relationship. To be all God wants you to be, we have to put some time and some sweat into our relationships. First, in our marriage, well, how much time are we really putting into our marriage? Because as husbands, we're called to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And for fathers, we're called to put that time in and provide a workout to be able to say, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's what we're called to, husbands and fathers. Those two responsibilities in a man's life are the greatest ones. And again, I say, if we understand what the Bible says to be a father and a husband, some of us would have waited a little bit longer till we stepped into those roles. But again, relationships are not optional. They enable us to develop into what God wants us to be and most effectively learn and live and to trust Him in God's truth. And iron sharpens iron means we have to be connected with someone who's going to sharpen us, to help us to grow, to help us be the man of God God has called us to be. Again, if we look at Scripture, the company of men, the gathering of men, men encouraging other men, fighting together, men pressing each other, it's scriptural. So if you don't have that circle, that number around you of men that you can depend on and rely on and who pray with you and pray for you and encourage you, I pray that you would start to work on it and see and build on that, because that's the only way we can really make it. No man should be alone in the body of Christ. No man should want to be alone in the body of Christ, because I doubt, I'm going to put it out there. I really doubt your salvation if you're not connected with other Christians, other men of faith who believe what you believe, and come together and encourage one another in this walk. If you think you can do it all by yourself, you don't need nobody, because I even know some brothers out there think they don't need a pastor. That's a whole other show we could do. Amen? But anyway, we're going to move on right now, because I think we're going to touch on some of this, because when it comes to obedience, God says some specific things as for us as men of God to be when we're living lives that are obedient to Him. Amen? Brother Deacon Lee, Anthony, can you hear me, sir? How are you?
Praise the Lord, bro. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, man. How you doing? You sound loud and clear, brother. Amen, amen. First of all, bro, I want to thank you, man, and appreciate you, man, being part of the program today and sharing and just taking time out of your schedule to be part of it. I don't take it for granted, and I do appreciate it, you know, because, you know, everybody got things going on. So for you to take the time out and give me an hour or so, I do appreciate it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, bro, we're going to jump right in it. We're talking about obedience. Why is obedience to God important? Is some of the things we want to touch on. Even in my intro, I talked about it. God calls us to love one another, and that's one of His commandments. And that's one of the things that Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And for us to love one another, that proves who we are. And I believe that proves who we are in our faith in Christ. How do we love one another? The church. I'm talking about the church now. Those in the body of Christ, our brothers and sisters, not the people living in our house, but those that we fellowship with, that we worship with, do we love one another? What do you say, sir?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, that's a good point you brought up too, because, you know, judgment starts in the body of Christ. But one of the things that I do understand about love is that love can compel you to be honest and obedient, because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us as believers. That's one of the hardest things to do, is to allow the Holy Spirit to use you in a way to where faith is being implemented instead of all of the things that we're used to doing out of our flesh. Faith is an unseen thing, but if you don't believe God, you won't be obedient to him. Everything that the Word of God says about who we are, we have to believe that God's Word is compelling us to do the right thing through the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe what he says about his Word, then obedience can never be practiced. I think one of the things that is so compelling to me personally is that everything else in nature obeys what it's supposed to do. Sun rises, sun sets. That's holiness. Holiness is a form of obedience. When you obey God, you are actually saying everything else other than the Word of God and God's command is important. God's command is important. God's Word is important. So if he tells us to love one another and he talks about keeping his commandments, do you believe that he told us that's what we should be doing? And are we able to deny ourselves to practice it? Okay? And a lot of us are faced with those things every day. It's not a thing where, you know, we don't get into things with maybe people of the body of Christ, but even through those differences that we may have, do we still love one another? You know, a lot of times that chaos or confusion and gossip and everything starts in the body of Christ, and then the next thing you know, there's a lot of confusion going on. And people want to leave the church. They want to leave, you know, certain ministries and say, oh, well, I'm going to start my own. And, you know, they never get back or get along with that other person. And see, if the Spirit of God is truly on the inside of you and on the inside of the other person, you have to agree. Because, you know, we have one faith and one baptism. So it's a thing where God is one. If we all have different opinions about what the Word is saying and what it's supposed to do for us, it's impossible for us to love one another. Because everybody brings their own ways of loving one another and think that that's acceptable to God. So when you make me angry, do I still love you enough to fellowship with you, to, you know, commune with you, to encourage you? Are we stepping away based on our flesh, or is the Spirit of God leading us to? So it shouldn't be where we have, you know, a lot of things and a lot of divisions just in the church. And I'm talking about the body of Christ, not the building. But it's a lot of people out there that call themselves a church and struggle with love.
Amen.
It'd be one thing, you know, I mean, I hate to say it that way, but it's more people that show more loyalty to the building called church than the actual people. You know,
oh,
Sunday
my.
Morning appearance. Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, traditionally said, you have, now I hate to say this, but me as a musician, I've seen a lot of people and musicians walk away from church buildings and dedicate themselves to church buildings, but say that they love God and they are a part of the body of Christ. Well, if that
right.
be true, wherever God placed you, he wouldn't uproot you unless he had something else for you to do.
Or the other church going to pay you more. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, and that's, you know, the word is so true. The love of money is the root to all evil. Because you see a lot of people leave fellowships and say, oh, yeah, God is really calling me over there. And it's like, well, why would you think they're calling you over there? Because they're paying you to fix the or paint the church, or they're paying you to do this and they're paying you to do that.
Mm.
So to understand that if Christ be on the inside of us, that same spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead, that's the spirit of truth.
Yes.
Okay? So if that's the spirit of truth, we need to live honest and not just try to act like we're honest. If I truly
Amen.
Love you, then I could disagree with you and we could still love each other. Now, you and I, we disagree a lot of times. But, you know.
Hey, we got to keep a good up appearance, bro. We're on the show together, bro. We can't talk people about other stuff. Yeah. Well, you know what, bro? But you know, you're right, and I think that's the way we have to be as men of God. Because all what you're saying is true. But my thing, I always like to bring it back to who we were before Christ. Where do we live everywhere else but in the church? Do we endure people? We endure circumstances. We endure a lot of things. But somehow, when it comes to the love of God and of the people of God, we have a high standard. We're not willing to sacrifice ourselves. We're not willing to sacrifice for the body of Christ. You see what I'm saying? I think we miss
Amen.
That, but we endure other things in other parts of our lives. You
yeah.
know, our jobs and in the neighborhood. We endure a lot of things, but it seems like as believers, we don't have that same endurance when it comes to the body of Christ, to being part of a local congregation. I mean, a lot of people look for a lot of things to join a church and be part of a church. But if you're there, like you were saying, is the Holy Spirit really compelling you to move, to go somewhere else? Or you think the grass, because there's also a thing in the church about the grass is greener. Because sometimes you look at what ministries do, because a lot of ministries do a lot of different things. But if you understand, as a man of God, as a mature man of God, you know that every congregation, every pastor, there's a call and a purpose for that ministry to exist, to accomplish the thing for God.
Yeah,
because you
amen.
See them doing something, that don't mean you should be there. Because God, if God's put you and connected you with where you are, there's a mission and a vision there. Do you understand it, and are you part of it? That's the first
amen.
Thing we talk about, being part of a congregation and that moving around thing you brought up. So every man has to search himself about that. Are you in, why
amen.
In the congregation, the church that you belong to, or that local congregation, do you understand what that God is calling that group of people to do and be? Because he's sending gifts and talents and folk there to fulfill, because God sees it all. God sees the churches from the day that he moved the pastor to start it to where it is. God has a plan, because, again, there's so many souls out here that need to be reached
amen.
For Christ. There's people in the body of Christ who need to be ministered to and comforted and encouraged, and they have to find that place where they can receive that, because they may not receive that everywhere. So,
amen.
You know, as men of God, we have to be in that place that we're going to live a life and that we're going to love one another. That's one of the big things, the commandments. Are we obeying God, and are we listening to God, or are we not willing to sacrifice ourselves? Or our own agenda, or our own, you know, I want it to be, so that's how I like it. So if it ain't like that, I want to find, you know, understand what I'm saying? We want the church to fit us instead of us fitting into the body.
That's
we
right.
Put it like
Amen.
That.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's so true what you say, because you think about it, when people uproot out of ministry, it's always because they disagree. And so you got to think, if they're not adhering to sound doctrine, are they really called by God in the places that they go? You know, it's a hurtful thing, because, in a sense, it's like, you know, you bond with certain people for a while, but as closer and everything around them starts to they disagree with what the vision that they had for themselves being in a ministry, then at that point in time, what begins to happen is that they seek to go elsewhere to start things of their own. And God, we have to make sure that our vision lines up with God's vision. Our will has to line up with his will. And so if it doesn't, then at that point, we need to examine ourselves and examine the fruit that we're going to bear, because it all is supposed, like, the word of God says, God wish no man to perish, but all come to repentance. That should be our mission and our vision for any congregation part of, any fellowship that we're a part of. That should be the vision. That's the mission. And I think it's like people go to do church versus being the church. And you see it today, because the condition that some of these places are, like you were talking about, the strangers and the people who aren't saved, are they examining our life? No, because we're too busy being in the church all the time. They don't see people living amongst them holy. and righteous. They don't see that because we actually are too busy all the time in the church or doing church things. The only way that they'll see it is if we're doing a church picnic or if we're doing, you know, some type of fellowship gathering or a men's ministry meeting. It's not meeting so we can pray, but it's meeting so we can eat or something like that, and those things are good. But that shouldn't be the mission, is for us to go get a free plate. It should be an opportunity for us to sharpen each other and encourage one another while we're fellowshipping together, you know?
Amen.
And I think that part of the thing is lost. It's just, you know, certain people have a mindset where they're like, oh, I come to the church so we can get some stuff or to hear a good word so I feel good and then go back and, you know, furniture is in the church, but, you know, it doesn't mean that they're idle and that we require them to do something. Only thing that we require them to do is to hold us up when we sit down. But the people are part of the sacrifice. The Holy Spirit should get us to get up out of the seat to actually live amongst people so people can see the glory of God through us. And if we're not in the right mindset of that, we won't be obedient to Christ. We won't even want to practice obedience. And I believe one of the biggest things is the fear of God has left a lot of the people in the body of Christ. It's like the example I give for that. It's like your children, when they get older, they get comfortable doing certain things. Oh, Daddy, he be all right. He ain't going to say nothing. And then before you know it, now they have this big ego, and they start smelling themselves. And you're like, wait, man, I got to put you back where you need to be. And see, now they're saying, oh, well, I need to leave. I can't do this. I can't do this in this house. I can't do this. No, you can't. And that's how we should feel with Christ. There should be some type of reverence and respect for Jesus Christ and for the blood that he shed for us. And we got to examine the value of that. If that is valuable to us and a part of our salvation, obedience would not be a problem at times. You know, loving one another would not be a problem. You know, if it's valuable, if it's your first mission, if you keep God first in your heart, those things will come after. What you say about that, D?
Amen, brother. You know, you touched on a lot there. But then we have to, like you said, bro, it goes back to if we obey his commandments, we don't do it because we have to. We do it because we want to. And that's the thing. Do we have a fear of God, that reverent fear of God? Do we have a real love of Jesus Christ and what he's done to us? And like you were saying about, you know, our kids, they take parents for granted. Are we taking our salvation and the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made in his life and that the Father made to send him, we take it for granted? We think it's just that's the way it was, that's the way it's supposed to be. We don't understand what it took for God to do what God has done and what it took for the man Jesus to endure and to go through. And it was only 3 years, and he was hunted from the beginning, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the leaders of Israel. He was being hunted. As soon as he opened his mouth to preach, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. What did they do to John? John started out, and how did John end up? So, you know, we take for granted because, again, we don't understand that we don't value the price that was paid for our salvation. And that's what we have to get to. If we can get back to that and know that we love, why we do what we do, we look because we love God for what he has done. And that goes back to what is our salvation? What was the price of our salvation to be taken that we will not suffer the wrath of God the Father when he comes back? We won't suffer that wrath because of what Christ sacrificed. And we're not willing to sacrifice in obedience. And like the Old Testament is a perfect example. When Israel disobeyed, God came for them. They endured a lot because of their disobedience. But now we're under grace, so we don't get the reckoning that's coming. So we do a lot of things. It's not even so much what we do. Our mindsets, we take stuff for granted. We're not fulfilling the Great Commission. We're not doing. We hold back from being what we should be as the church.
Amen.
Because we can't, and we, you know, like you said about people, you know, they've been in the ministry, and then all of a sudden, you know, if they're not doing what they want, they go and start their own ministry and all kinds of other things. That's why we got, you know, I remember a sister asked one time, why is there so many churches? Because there's so many people. Yeah, I mean, it's as simple as that. Everybody think they get a revelation from God because they've been, you know, they've been in the church 2.5 years, so they think they got a new revelation or something, but that's a whole other show. But what we're talking about now, brothers, again, the Emir Issues Christian Men's Talk, we want to talk about our individual obedience and what is it crowned? Why is it important for us as men of God to be obedient? You know, some of the things that we have to be, it demonstrates, first of all, our faithfulness to God. It also demonstrates, like you were saying, because you touched on all my highlights here, that our lives should glorify Him to the world. How we live and how we live obedient to Him, people see that, understand who we are, and that we know who we are, and it glorifies Him to a lost and dying world, to those who want to know what it means to be a Christian or don't know, or understand and don't know there's a different way to live. So our obedience is one of the things that glorifies Him to this world. And it's something that we should be, again, we have to search ourselves and see, again, that His commandments, the Scripture says that His burden is light. Because we are saved and because of the Holy Ghost, the things God has called us to do and to be as the body of Christ, as church, as men of God, these things are not hard. Because it's the Holy Ghost living within us. We're just living in obedience to it. Because we know we have the Word, we believe the Word, we believe what the Word says, and we believe who Christ said He was. And that obedience, and we live that out through our obedience. The joy we have, the assurance of our faith, and I think it's all together because we are Christians. I think it's not something we work to get. It's something that we are because we are Christ. We are of Christ. We are God's children. And we just have to obey. I like what you said, too, about, you know, we are God's children, so we can't get to the point where we think our Father, we can't take Him for granted. And I think that's a lot of it, too, when it comes to the body of Christ. We start to take stuff for granted. And in other part two, brothers, we have to search ourselves. Are we contributors or are we consumers of the things of God in the church? Are we contributing to the church or to the mission and to the vision? Or are we consumers where we're going to the church to get something? You know what I mean? I mean, that's a line that we got to consider where we are. Are we consumers? Or are we participants? Are we part of what God is doing? What do you say, sir?
Amen. You know, it's a thing because the closer we get to Christ and studying His Word and actually building a relationship with Him, a personal relationship, then what we get to see is that this world becomes secondary. Until we actually get to the point where the world becomes secondary and everything that's involved in the world, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't do the things that God would have us to do, but God should be priority, you know, meaning if I'm going to let my light shine, I'm going to let it shine. When I'm around friends, when I'm around family members, is that more important for Jesus Christ to be glorified, or am I trying to be glorified? And am I trying to actually live on how I used to be in my reputation? And so, you know, I think we just have to make sure that our love for God is prioritized. And it takes a lot, I would say, of self-denial. You know, and the Word says, you know, I beseech you, brethren, by, you know, presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So we have to understand that we are living, but we have to sacrifice everything for Him. If we don't deny ourselves, we can't follow Him. We, we just can't. That means that the word of God and the word that we read and the word that we hear is none effect in our lives. Because it's like, well, we hear the word, but then it's secondary in our everyday lives. If we move away from the word of God and our spiritual walk and say that that is our life, I think the greater outcome is that people begin to see who we really are in Christ. The fruit will begin to grow. See, you can't stop the fruit from growing if you know the seed. But if you constantly around individuals and you talk to individuals that's around them when you're not around them, if they have different speech, then what it is that God is secondary, is only on Sunday and Bible study, instead of being my life, is just a part of my life. And you'll be able to see that. I remember years back, a person had said to me, I forgot who it was, he said, if you really want to know if a person has a relationship with Jesus Christ, ask them to pray out loud. You know, because sometimes you'll be able to tell if that's part of your life and how you pray. And, and it's not saying that you have to say a long prayer. It's just that sometimes you can identify sincerity. People kind of search for words. And sometimes we know what the word says. We don't know what we ought to pray for. And the Holy Spirit makes intercessions. But if we allow the Holy Spirit, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to use us in that time to pray to God sincerely. We have to yield to the Holy Spirit. And I know a lot of times maybe people may have some questions. How do you hear the voice of God? How do you know it's God's voice? And the reason that maybe they don't know or confused is just because they don't know what God's voice sounds like because they haven't studied or they don't have a better relationship. But it's a starting point for everything. And I would encourage every man that's listening to start somewhere. You have to make time to serve God. You have to make time. It's not a thing where it's going to just magically appear one day and you hear a word and, oh, look, this is what I've discovered. And it takes time. It takes, building blocks. It takes a lot of time before you can actually, as you begin to mature in Jesus Christ. And that's the key. We just have to be diligent and consistent in serving God. And when we do so, other people around us will begin to get the fruit from us. Then we'll begin to share the fruits of love. Then we'll begin to share the fruits of, obedience and, joy and peace, et cetera, long suffering, because of what our relationship is based on in Christ. So that's the key point. That's the point I believe that brothers need to start, somewhere to try to get some time in with God. And it ain't easy all the time because we get preoccupied by so many things. But the thing is that, is God going to be glorified and prioritized in my life? What do you think about that, D?
Amen. So, you're absolutely correct. And then, and like you say, when we talk about the voice of God, let me say it like this, brothers. The voice of God is in his word. He's given us the 66 books, and that's the – I know a lot of churches and people want to make it mystical, supernatural, or spooky here in the voice, but the voice of God is in his word. And the longer, like you were saying, the study, the reading, the meditating on his word, and learning the fear of God. And that's where it begins, and that's where it does begin, to be in his word and to understand what his word is saying. And not, let me say it like this, brothers. I'll say this for every brother out there, every man that's listening. The Sunday sermon, whatever your pastor's teaching on, whatever he's teaching, that is a launching point for you to grow. That's a launching point. That's not what he's teaching you is not the thing that you're going to take it in, and then now you launch off that. You go deep into the word. That's where you start your study. I've said this before. That's where you can start your devotional time, to where whatever was preached, the scriptures that were given, go into the scripture, get the understanding of the scripture, hearing what God is saying. That's the voice you want. That's the voice of God. What is he saying in his word? And your pastor puts time in the study, so now you put the time in the study. I know most pastors, I know brothers, they start preparing for Sunday sermons on Wednesday, if not Tuesday. You know what I'm saying? And then some pastors, they're doing a series. They're putting in some time to understand, to bring it to you, to put it into bite-sized, digestible pieces for everyone in the room. But then you, as a man of God, what are you going to take that and now are you going to take and expand on it to get the understanding of it that you can now you can be able to share it with someone, with your family, help your family to understand it as a husband and as a father. And like I said, as a husband, trust me, your wife heard one thing from the sermon, you heard another. If y'all come together, that's the bond right there, because now you're searching the word together. You're hearing the voice of God speaking to both of you, that you are one flesh. And this is how we grow, how we also nurture our marriages, because if our marriages are built on the word of God, you know, we all know the story of three-strand marriage, husband, wife, and the Holy Spirit. So if you're in the word together, that's helping bind y'all together. That's helping in that process, in that growth process. So there's a lot here that we have to consider when we're talking about what it means to obey God. So are we obeying God? And I just want to touch on a couple of scriptures again. I want to plant these seeds in scriptures. I know, brothers, you know, you go back and you can meditate on it. It's Psalms 128:1. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. In James 1, it talks about not merely being a listener of the word, but be a doer of the word. Not be deceiving yourselves, that we are to be obedient to the word. That's what it means to be a doer of the word. You know, so I'll give you James 1, Psalms 128:1. And I have a couple of others here, but I'm going to wait until later on in the show. But we just want to get to you to understand that who God is and how we should be living for him. Because the commandments he's given us, when that commandment of love our neighbor as ourselves, or loving one another in the body of Christ, that covers a lot of stuff. Again, that covers a lot of our relationships, or what we're doing and being obedient. Because, again, if we truly loved one another, the sacrificial, where we die of self, where it's not got to be our way, that we come into submission and obedience and trust to the things of God and those that God has put into our lives, especially when it comes to our leaders and our pastors. Because, again, this is something that we have to get to. Because if we're going to be blessed and be obedient, we have to submit. And that's the other thing. You know, it's being a man that is teachable and submissive and willing to be part of something, that you don't always have to be running something. We can learn that in our regular life, in our spiritual life, in our temporal life, in our job. You got to be part of a team. I mean, you know, some brothers do sports and all that stuff. That's fine. But even in our workplace, as coworkers, as a organization, whatever, to be part of a team, everybody has to know their place, their role, their position, and given a responsibility, they fulfill that responsibility so that the team can accomplish whatever the goal and the mission is. And in the body of Christ, it's the same thing. So, men, again, I say this to brothers: where are you? Where are you? Look into the mirror. Look at yourself. Search your spirit. Search your heart. Where are you when it comes to being obedient to God, being submissive to the Spirit, what the Spirit is calling you to do, to be, and lead you? And if you don't know, begin to pray. Begin to seek the words. Begin to see who are we to be as men of God. That's what the Bible is for. And the Holy Spirit is going to agree with the Scripture. So as you dive into the Scripture, the Holy Spirit will confirm that thing in your spirit, because now you will understand it and you'll be able to apply it. Mm-hmm. And then you have around you men and brothers that encourage you in that thing, that now together we can accomplish more together than individuals, that now we can move forward, that we can have marriages in the church. Marriages in the church that are strong and stable, that the world can look at, this is how marriage should be done. I don't care what the world wants to call it, title it, what they want to make it look like, whatever they want to justify. if the churches, if we have married couples who come together and can demonstrate this is what marriage looks like at all different levels and stages, then we're being salt and light when it comes to now when we know, when we see marriages out in the world that are struggling. Why is our marriage working? Because of God. Why is it because of God? Because what the Word of God says, and I'm living in obedience, I'm being the husband that God's telling me to be in His Word. And through the Holy Spirit, because it's not easy, because, you know, we have to, it's not easy to be a husband in the Word of God, but now we have the Holy Spirit that's now working on us. And then now that our wife, she's a different kind of woman because she is in the Word and knows her role. So it all matters, and God's planned it that way. So brothers, I just encourage you, it's the Word, and to be obedient. That's why it's important for us to be obedient to God, because it affects us, our families, our churches, our communities, and I'm not even going to get into the kids and generations that's coming behind us, and then it affects those in us, in the body of Christ. Again, are we encouraging one another in the things of this life? In this Christian walk, if we're being obedient to God, we're encouraging someone that we don't even know we're encouraging because they're just watching us. Amen? Amen. This is Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and we're talking about now why is it important to be obedient. I'm here with Deacon Anthony, and he's sharing his insights. And brothers, I just wanted to encourage you on this thing, and because obedience is one of the things we all struggle with. No matter how long you've been in the church, how long you've been saved, giving your life to Christ, every day is a new challenge and a new opportunity because God, because like the deacon, I'm going to come back to you, Deacon, but, you know, he said it. It's a process. It's a building process. So every day you're going to be challenged to something else because you may accomplish, you may be doing good, but God's going to also stretch you and grow you to use you, you know, and we have to be prepared. That's why we have to stay constant. It's not just knowing the Word and say, you know, oh, I already read that. I already done that. I already been through that. That doesn't have nothing to do with tomorrow. Amen? Brother, what do you say? Again, we're talking about obedience, bro. And I'm going to give you, man, look at the time. Man, it goes fast, brother. Okay. I'm going to give you the final word, bro. And again, man, I appreciate you. And I'm going to give you the final word, and then you can wrap us up with prayer. And then again, for the month of May, brothers, we're going to continue to discuss this. We're going to be discussing more about obedience. We're going to be discussing about sacrifice, and we're going to be discussing about serving for the month of May. So again, if you're interested in coming on and sharing some insight, being part of the discussions, we're live on Saturday mornings, and then reach out to me, and you can be part of discussion panels. The other sessions and episodes will be recording and posting and sending out. So I encourage you to come out, see, you know, share. You never know. Your voice may be heard that a brother might need to hear and receive from you, that he can get it, that he can do better and be the God, and you be part of his spiritual growth and maturity into what God created him for. What do you say, brother?
Amen, amen. I would also add to that, you know, we definitely want to stay connected to the body of Christ and the people we fellowship with. One thing about building a relationship with Jesus Christ, you build relationships with people around you. And it's not a relationship that models what we want, but it's a relationship that models what Jesus Christ would want us to have. He wants us to continue to encourage each other. He wants us to continue to pray for one another and holding each other accountable to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we don't know each other, we won't know each other's issues. We won't actually have prayer together. We won't have fellowship with one another. So loving one another is not just saying, I love you when I see you. It's also staying connected to those individuals and staying connected with Jesus Christ, because the places that, like you said, the places that he puts you is a reflection of where he needs you to be in order to grow, in order to, you know, learn the word, in order to fellowship with each other and not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. So it is very important for us to stay connected. So with that being said, I thank God for this opportunity, bro. I thank God for you. I encourage you, I encourage this ministry. I pray for this ministry to minister to men, A lot of times we may not hear a word that really ministers or triggers us. But I thank God for, you know, this ministry that sets aside time for men to hear the word and to actually be able to reflect on what was said and to grow. So I thank God for this opportunity. I thank God for you. I thank God for all of our pastors and leaders. Keep the ministry and the body of Christ in prayer. I'm not talking about the church building. I'm talking about true worshipers and people who are of the faith. Keep the body in Christ in prayer. Amen. So with that being said, bro, if you got anything to say, I'll definitely close out in prayer.
Yo, bro, you can close out.
Amen. Amen. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Father, for a new opportunity, Father, of new mercy and new grace. Father, forgive us for the things that we have taken for granted, Lord God. Let us start afresh. Let us start new today, Lord God. Let us start new, Father, as being fathers and being husbands, Lord God. Help our marriages. Help our relationship with our children, Father. Let it be a reflection of how you love us. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for protecting and providing for us, Lord God. We thank you for your word and your Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us to guide and minister to us, Father, in all truth. We thank you, Father, for the comforter. As we leave this radio station, Lord God, Father, whatever was said, Father, let it be used to glorify you. We thank you and we praise you right now, Lord God. Bless Deacon Farr, Father. Bless his family, Father. Touch, heal, and deliver wherever he may be held in his body, Lord God. Father, we just thank you for hearing and answering prayer. It's in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen, brother. God bless.